There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
When looking at another homegrown UAE food concept, expanding both inside and outside Dubai, we are very pleased to be joined by Andre Gershel, who is the Director of Operations at Baker and Spice. Healthy, organic foods, big overflowing bowls of salad. Thanks very much for coming in, Andre.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always great to be on the show.
You were moving sideways and upwards in a number of different ways, but let's start with Saudi Arabia, which seems to be flavor ho-ho of the month at the moment. Tell us what you're doing moving into Saudi.
So we're really excited not just to be debuting and opening up in Saudi Arabia itself, but we're also going to be responsible for the entire F&B of a new boutique hotel that's opening up in Jeddah in 2019. And I think it's really important from an F&B perspective to talk about Saudi, because the truth is you're not really a GCC brand until you've cracked into that market. And I think that's a very important thing to understand from a commercial perspective for us. It's great to be a homegrown local brand with the presence that we've had, but once you're in Saudi, you're really on the map.
Why are you doing it the way that you're doing it, though? Coming in, running the F&B for a hotel rather than, 12 Baker and Spices across the major cities in the country?
I think that nobody should really open 12 of anything at once, to be very honest. I think that that's been somewhat of a GCC tradition. And I think there's a huge danger, particularly with the way that we source, purchase, and cook, to proliferating and expanding too quickly. We really want to do it correctly. We want to be, as we have been, stayed true, tried and tested, and on the market as we have for the past 8 years here in Dubai. And I think that's really important for us to have the staying power that's required. So we partnered up with what we feel is a great institutional and operational partner for that.
Because of the lack of options, liquid options on the menu in Saudi Arabia, sort of the restaurants when you drive around tend to be on the street, tend to be fast food places. You go in, you're out, not something you might linger in. How have you done your research to know that Saudi can support sort of newer types of venue?
I think, look, this is a very exciting time for Saudi Arabia on multiple levels, socially, economically, politically. And I think for us, the reason why we felt this was the right time to go to Saudi is that, interestingly enough, from an agricultural perspective, Saudi has immensely avant-garde practices. Their organic and farming practices are excellent there. Their standards for organic and hydroponic growing have boomed over the last 4 or 5 years, which means as a restaurant, I have more ingredients to play with. And that's ultimately what it was for us.
And that's the kind of restaurant you are, aren't you? Because it's very much veg-based, organic. There's a lot of whole food, homemade. I think of you guys being the homemade bread people.
Absolutely.
As well. Is that the kind of food you're going to be doing in this hotel?
100%. It is exactly the same exact type of food that we're going to be doing. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to play with a larger array of ingredients as well.
So you've got the ingredients. The question, I suppose, really is, can you charge for them in Saudi Arabia, who are not used to paying sort of slightly upmarket prices for upmarket ingredients? Perhaps that principle doesn't really exist outside the hotels in the country. What sort of research have you done to suggest that people are prepared to pay those slightly higher prices?
Well, we've had the opportunity to expand into Bahrain recently, which is a very, very price-sensitive market, much more so than necessarily the Western provinces. And as far as I'm concerned, I have no intention of changing our price model throughout the region. I want people to understand that ultimately our job is to make it as cheap and accessible as possible to nourish people rather than just feed them.
So this is your first step into Saudi. Will there be more? What's the bigger plan there?
My partners are definitely listening in on this, and they loved that you asked that question. I hope so. I think Riyadh is an obvious next choice. I think everything is about scalability, but we want to organically grow our organic bakery.
But you're also teaming up with a hotel in my neck of the woods in Sustainable City. Why this hotel focus rather than the standalones that you've had so far?
I think the obvious thing to say is that hotel operators are coming to the realization that F&B is tough. They don't really want to do it, and they want to have people who are going to do it and do it well and have the experience to do so. They want to focus on rooms so that we can focus on food.
But how does the deal work with you and them then? I mean, let's take the hotel that's going to be opening, I think, towards the end of this year in Sustainable City. How does the actual partnership work in terms of who pays who gets what after the profits are made?
I mean, look, at the end of the day, these deals don't exist unless everyone makes profit to a certain extent. And I don't believe in straight franchise agreements. I think Dubai has tons of them. And I think that there are bad products, franchises, as a general point. I think that people buy them and then don't get any of the support that they were expecting from the parent company. And so the nice thing is it's a franchise plus a management agreement. So we're going to be running it. I will be there. My people will be there. We will be heavily involved.
When we're talking about too many of them, restaurants full stop, we had a really interesting conversation on the show a couple of weeks ago with Naim Medad, who is the CEO of Gates Hospitality, number of restaurants here in the UAE, many of them in hotels. He made some comments that got our text lives absolutely buzzing. Let's hear from him now.
The supply is really gone past the demand factor, and I think that's where the issue is really fundamentally arising from. The business is well oversaturated at the minute, and we need to be able to say, where do we stop the line? And RTA does it very well. If you look at the amount of taxis on the road today, there's a limitation where people say, that's how many taxis we can have on the road. What other parts of the world do is number of licenses. So one has to close for one to open. There needs to be a cap on it.
One in, one out. Says Naim, for restaurants to solve the saturation problem in the UAE. What do you think?
I do think there's a saturation problem, and Naim's a good colleague. I know him from the industry. I actually respectfully disagree with him on the one in, one out policy. I think that a lot of the restaurant projects that you see are vanity projects, and I think he did reference that when he spoke about that, and I think that's a tremendously accurate and excellent way to say it. But those will close. There will be a correction, and the restaurateurs that want to do 5, 10, 15, 20 years in the business will remain.
Well, you're heading towards Saudi Arabia, but you're also heading about 3,000 miles past Saudi Arabia as well, because we've got Ramadan coming up, and from the 2nd to the 8th of June in Copenhagen, in Denmark,
yeah,
you're going to be running an iftar series. What's the story behind this?
So, listen, just to put it as succinctly as possible, this is probably what I'm most excited about over the next sort of 16, 18 months. But I'm going to be bringing 7 of my cooks over to cooperate with another restaurant company that's based in Denmark with a dinner series called the Opposite Kitchen Dinner Series for Ramadan. And I think that doing this type of event in the era that we have now, and bringing together, you know, local Danes, the Muslim community also in Denmark, ourselves, Baker and Spice as a homegrown restaurant, and into this kind of great experience for a short time period is going to be very exciting for us. We're doing it as a means to sort of connect with the local Muslim community in Denmark. We're also doing it in cooperation with the UAE Embassy of Denmark and sort of to pay tribute to the year of Zayed and as to really show.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I can sort of go down very well. My question probably would be, you know, why Copenhagen? Why not London or Paris with sizably bigger Muslim communities?
Precisely because of that. I think that we want to go where people are underserved. And I think that starting a dialogue about Arabian culture, Muslim culture, and Arabian hospitality during Ramadan is a very easy way to do it. And I think Copenhagen, Denmark, has no exposure, so it's great for us.
So you're saying that nobody has any iftars in Copenhagen?
Well, if they do, I'll tell you this much. They're very, very, very late at night because the sun doesn't set till quite late. So if they do, I imagine they're quite starving.
What time are you going to run yours then?
So as of right now, I checked the sunset clock of last year, and you're looking at 9:48 as the earliest. So that's quite a big fasting period for people. So I'd like to think that we can take care of the cooking for them.
Well, let's ask the big question here. At a time when we know that a lot of F&B concepts are struggling, there's more competition than ever before. You could argue that people were watching their dirhams more than they have done in a while.
Of course.
How are you managing to expand? What are you doing that means that you are expanding rather than closing branches?
Well, I think the one thing is smaller footprint branches make a lot more sense for us. At the end of the day, and this is a very important thing to understand, 95% of the restaurants are signed right now have bad leases. And bad leases are why you have high prices on the menu. And this is a big thing that I try and explain to customers all the time. The price on the menu does not reflect the cost of production. It reflects the cost of rent. And the minute that rents normalize and we have an opportunity to come together with landlords and create a better sense of partnership, customers will immediately reap the benefits of that.
But when you say bad rents, you're just meaning that the market has turned against people who signed rents a year or two ago or 3 years ago.
I think that there's an element of saturation, which always pulls apart a limited customer base. I think customers' tastes have changed. And I think all of that culminates in a situation where people need another, you know, helping hand in terms of from the operating perspective. And I think the minute you have rents normalize into, let's say, what is appropriate for the existing market, you're going to see an immediate reduction in prices and customers will benefit.
What's going to cause that to happen, though? Will market forces take care of that? Will they bring landlords to the table?
Absolutely. But I also think it's an understanding that at some point, landlords have to realize they can have high rents for 2 years and high turnover of tenants, or they can have somebody like us who never leaves and is consistent for 8 years, and they just need to decide what they want.
I've noticed on the Beach Road, for instance, a lot of fast food restaurants come and go because there's very little parking, and across town, restaurants are beginning to churn. Do you think that sort of churn is picking up?
Absolutely. Look, I think everyone is excited about the economic climate that we're coming up to with 2020. I think everybody is looking at, you know, the next 2, 3, 5 years. I think people look at the, you know, recovering price of oil, and all of these act as great bellwethers for a robust economy. So I think once those things all align with rent deals, you're going to see restaurants pick up again.
One final question relating to Expo 2020. Do you think it's going to be a boost for the city, Dubai South direction or right across the city?
I think it's going to be right across the city. I think you're going to see occupancy rates and hotel rates go up. And I think hopefully what we're really going to see and what the real job of Expo is how to get people to stay in 2021.
Thanks very much for joining us this morning. Andre Gershel is the Director of Operations at Baker & Spice. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.